So as many of you know, we've been looking for an administrative assistant at the church. And this last week, a young lady came by dropped off a resume. And so I was looking through it, and I began to think how hard a resume is. Have you ever had to put together a resume? Part of why it's so hard is because you have to go basically to a stranger in most situations, and you have to, in a few pages, tell them who you are, right? We usually put things on like, you know, education and experience, but are all those things really who you are? How do I explain to someone who I am in a few pages? That's a hard question in general, right? Like, if after church I said, who are you? How would you explain that? Some of you might say, Shane, I've known you for 20 years. You know who I am. But how would you answer to someone who asks you, who are you? What's really neat is over the next few weeks, we get to see Jesus himself explain who he is. Now, I'm going to share with you a little bit this morning about how my mind works. About 4 years ago, I thought to myself, it would be really fun, be really interesting and really neat to go through the I am statements from the book of John. You know, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. You know, Jesus says there's actually seven of them. I thought it'd be really fun to go through those, you know, and just take some time on each one of them. And then I thought, you know, it'd actually be good to go through the book of John. We've never actually went through the book of John, so we should do that verse by verse. But if we're going to go through the book of John, maybe we should start with John's letters, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And so that's where we started 4 years ago. And for the next couple weeks, next few weeks, we're going to come back to where I first started 4 years ago. And as our final conclusion to the book of John, we're going to look at the I am statements of Jesus. Basically, what we get to see is who Jesus says he is. This is how he defines himself. And there are actually, I don't know if you remember them all in the last few years as we studied through, but John is unique because there is seven I am statements of Jesus. And the reason they stick out is because in the Greek language, there's two words for I am. One of them is ego, and the other one is I me. And the thing about them is that they're each their own I am statement. We don't really have two different words in English. We just say I am. But these are two different Greek words. But every time that Jesus says, I am the bread of life, or I am the light of the world, he says both of them together. So it basically kind of sounds like, I am, I am. I am the bread of life. And so it really sticks out when he says those things. And here's the seven that he says. He says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I am the true vine. And then it all culminates, and we're actually going to talk about this last one on November 11th, on the Sunday that we have baptisms here at the church. We're going to talk about the final statement, the eighth one, actually, when Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. Now, all of this comes from something that happens very early in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, chapter 3. In the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, but In the Greek translation, the very old Greek translation of the Old Testament, called the Septuagint, God, at one point, uses that exact same construction, ego I me, I am that I am. And it comes in Exodus chapter 3. And this is the basis for everything else we're going to talk about in the coming weeks. Exodus chapter 3, God is talking to Moses, beginning in verse 10. Says, therefore, go, I am sending you to Pharaoh so that you may lead my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses asked God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the Israelites out of Egypt? He answered, I will certainly be with you. And this will be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you bring the people out of Egypt, you will all worship God at this mountain. Then Moses asked God, if I go to Israel, to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What should I tell them? God replied to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to your word today, we come humbly. We come knowing that we are sinful people that do not even deserve to hear from a righteous living God. But we also know that you love us and you desire for us to grow closer to you. That's why you sent your son. And so, Father, I ask that you would open up our hearts and minds to what it is that you have to say. I thank you for the way that you have spoken to me this week as I have been able to dig into these verses and these passages and how you've shown me the dark places in my life that need change, the places where I need to grow and be closer to you. And I am very much aware that just a sermon is not going to do that in the hearts of the people gathered here today. And so I ask that you would hide me behind the cross, that Jesus Christ would be glorified, and that you would speak loud and clear to us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first I am statement that Jesus gives us in the book of John is, I am the bread of life. And it happens in John chapter 6. Now, to really appreciate this, we need to know that in their context, bread was not around every corner. It wasn't something that was just easy and simple to come by. People worked very, very hard to have bread available. They didn't go to the little store, you know, on the corner of 4th Street and the interstate and pick up some bread for a dollar. They had to work very hard for their bread, and bread was precious. And that's the setting in which Jesus talks. It actually appears three different times in this passage, John chapter 6, verses 30 through 51. What sign then, the Jews asked him, asked Jesus, are you going to do so we may see and believe you? What sign are you going to perform? Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness, just as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, I assure you, Moses didn't give you bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the real bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said, sir, give us this bread always. I am the bread of life, Jesus told them. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry, and no one who believes in me will ever be thirsty. But as I told you, you've seen me, and yet you do not believe. Everyone the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose none of those he has given me, but should raise them up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Therefore, the Jews started complaining about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They were saying, isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, stop complaining among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who's listened to and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. I assure you, anyone who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that anyone may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews began questioning and asking Jesus about the manna from heaven and a sign from God. And what Jesus points out really clearly is that it wasn't Moses who brought the manna. It wasn't Moses who provided that. It came from heaven. It came from God. And this is the foundation, that truth is the foundation of Jesus' reply. And so I want to look at three different things about the bread of life. And the first is that the bread sustains us. Food and water in life sustain us. It doesn't matter what else you want to do, what else you want to accomplish. You first have to have food and water, don't you? I mean, you could aspire to be, you know, the world's greatest singer. That's great, but if you don't eat or drink anything, you're never going to make it there. Trust me. That's foundational. That's what sustains us through life and all the things that we want to do. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying here, that he sustains us. Nothing else in life is going to come about unless you first have the bread of life. You're not going to go anywhere, or get anywhere, or do anything significant in life if you don't first have the bread of life. He is what sustains us. And then the next amazing thing about the bread of life is that this bread lasts forever. There's a problem with our earthly food, our earthly bread, and that's that it doesn't last. We must continue to eat day after day. As soon as you stop eating, you stop being sustained. It is not eternal. Could you imagine if anything else in life were like that? If we could eat our food and say, hey, are you hungry? You want something to eat? No, I ate when I was six. I'm good. I don't need any more food. It doesn't work that way. I wish it worked that way with my car. You need to fill up your car? No, I did it 6 years ago. I'm good. But our food here on earth, our physical food, doesn't last forever. It's something that we have to continually return to or we will die. But the same is not true of the bread of life. Right before the passage we just read in John 6:27, Jesus tells us, don't work for the food that perishes, but for the food that lasts for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has sent his seal of approval on him. This is also what Jesus means when he says, I am the real bread. I am real food. When I used to read that, I used to think that Jesus meant, just like a hamburger is real, I'm real. But that's not at all what Jesus is saying. What he's saying is, a hamburger is not real food. I am real food. I am the one thing that can sustain you for all eternity. And the last thing is that the bread must be eaten. Now, this might sound really obvious, but it's a vitally important point to this whole thing. This idea is what leads Jesus to say the crazy stuff, and I'll leave it for you to read when you go home and do your devotions, but verses 53 through 56 of chapter 6 sound really strange. I'm just going to tell you now. Jesus talks about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. But that's what he leads us to understand, that food is no good if you don't eat it. You can't simply take some bread and rub it on your arm and expect you to be okay. We have to eat it for it to do any good for us. And Jesus says, the same is true of me. We can't just know that there's a Jesus. We can't just listen to stories about Jesus. We must partake of Jesus. We must eat the bread of life if we're going to live forever. Jesus is the one who sustains us for all eternity. He is no good unless we partake of him, unless he truly becomes a part of who we are. Isn't that really what a diet is? I mean, food literally becomes a part of who you are, right? When you eat something, it physically becomes a part of you. And when we go on a diet, we decide what we don't want to be a part of us, right? That's what Jesus is telling us here, is that we have the opportunity for him to become a part of who we are. That's what happens when we partake of Jesus. Romans 8:11 tells us, and if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies to life through his spirit who lives in you. Jesus is the bread of life. But Jesus is also the light of the world. Again, to understand this I am statement, this part of who Jesus is, we have to remember the context. In this time, in this place, in this world, light was hard to come by. Of course, in the middle of the day, everything was light. But at night, you would have a candle. If you're lucky, you would have a torch. But that was it. You couldn't just walk into a room and flip a switch and the whole room would light up. You couldn't go on a journey and just turn on your headlights and see where you were going. It didn't work that way. When we read, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, it's because that's all the light they had. They didn't have a flashlight. And so in this world, light was precious. Light was hard to come by. When there was darkness, it was hard to escape the darkness. This I am statement of Jesus, then, is found in two different places in the book of John. The first place is John 8:12, when Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And then in chapter 9, he says this again, but in the context of an incredible story. In chapter 9, verse 1, it says, as he, Jesus, was passing by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples questioned him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, Jesus answered. This came about so that God's work might be displayed in him. We must do the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. After he said these things, he spit on the ground, made some mud from the saliva, and spread the mud on his eyes. Go, he told him, and wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he left, washed, and came back seeing. His neighbors and those who formerly had seen him as a beggar said, isn't this the man who sat begging? Some said, yes, he's the one. No, others were saying, but it just looks like him. He kept saying, I am the one. Therefore, they asked him, then how were your eyes opened? He answered, the man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and told me to go to Siloam and wash. So when I went and washed, I received my sight. John has been preparing us for this all along. This story, this idea about Jesus being the light of the world. When he first began his book in John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, he says, in the beginning was the Word, verse 1, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. Verse 4, life was in him, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, yet the darkness did not overcome it. So what does Jesus mean when he says, I am the light? First of all, an aspect that we don't usually think of when Jesus says this is that light brings judgment. Judgment's not necessarily the main purpose of light, but it is a byproduct. For instance, I'm a father. I have several children running around my house. And at certain times when I walk into a room and I turn on the light, my purpose is so that I can see what's going on in the room and walk around without tripping over toys. But every once in a while, I will walk into a room and flip on the light and judgment comes. That wasn't my purpose. But when the light comes on, what's been done in darkness has been revealed. John shows us this in John chapter 3. Verses 17 through 21. For God did not send his Son into the world that he might condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Why did light come? For salvation, not for condemnation. Anyone who believes in him is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe is already condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. This then is the judgment. Light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who practices wicked things hates the light and avoids it, so that his deeds may not be exposed. But anyone who lives by the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be shown to be accomplished by God. Second thing is that light brings understanding. What I love about this being set in the passage of the blind man is that this man was born blind. He had never seen the face of his friends, the face of his family. He's never seen what the mountain or the oceans look like. He's never seen any of those things. To a certain extent, he does not understand those things. When someone says, hey, have you ever seen the first snow when it falls on the very tops of the mountains? He would say, I don't understand what you're talking about. He's never seen that. And this is set in the midst of that story on purpose. The truth is, light brings understanding. It helps us navigate this dark world. It brings us out of the ignorance of darkness. Without light, there would be nothing but darkness, nothing but ignorance, nothing but chaos. This is taught to us in the very first chapter, in the very first verse of the Bible. Now, if you want to go home and read this in your devotions, and you've never looked in the Bible before, this is an easy one to find. First verse of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless, empty, darkness covered the depths, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, what's the very first thing God says in the Bible? Let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and he called the darkness night. Evening came, and then morning, on the very first day. Light brings understanding. It brings us out of the darkness and the chaos and the ignorance. And lastly, light brings guidance. This is related to the thing that we just said, but it takes it a step further. There's a really interesting hidden picture in John chapter 8. We looked at verse 12 and Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And then down in verse 20, it says he spoke these words by the treasury while teaching in the temple complex. Why is that important? John gives us that for a reason. And the reason is Jesus is speaking here at the Feast of Tabernacles. And at the Feast of Tabernacles, in front of the treasury, they had this huge candelabra, just all kinds of candles that they would light up in front of the treasury. And you can imagine, in a world where there's not a lot of light, to see this incredible collection of these candles lighting up the whole place. And so it was this beautiful picture, and what it was meant to remember was the pillar of fire that guided the Israelites through the wilderness. Again, remember, in a time and a place where light is hard to come by, could you imagine being on a trip and having a pillar of fire in front of you? You think somebody's brights are bright when they're coming head on. A pillar of fire guiding you through the wilderness. And so that's in memory of that. And on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, they did not light the candles. And it is on that day that Jesus stands up and says, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. There's also another hidden meaning, almost, except John's much more clear about this one. In John chapter 9, your Bibles even tell you, Jesus tells the man to go wash where? The blind man, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which your Bible tells you means what? Sent. Means sent. And this man actually becomes a missionary, doesn't he? He goes around telling all of his friends and family, Jesus healed me. Jesus healed me. That's an interesting story because Jesus could have said, here's your sight. We know other stories where Jesus healed people from a long ways away. He wasn't even near them and just spoke the word. Why didn't Jesus do that with the blind man? He sent him so that others could see. Others could hear the story about Jesus' healing. You see, the light gives us guidance on our journey. It lets us know where it is that we're supposed to be going. It lets us see the path, the road that God has for us. Light gives us guidance. This is what light does for us. It is the pillar of fire that guides us through the wilderness of our world so that we can be the sent ones, so that we can be witnesses for Jesus. I want to share with you the prophecy of all this in Isaiah chapter 42, verses 6 and 7. It says, I, Yahweh, have called you for a righteous purpose, and I will hold you by your hand. I will keep you and appoint you to be a covenant for the people and a light to the nations, in order to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon and those sitting in darkness from the prison house. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is the light of the world. So I want to ask a question. We're going to try to ask this at the end of each one of these messages. If this is who Jesus is, then who are we? If this is who Jesus is, what does it mean for me? I believe these two things that we talked about today, sustenance, being sustained, and guidance or enlightenment, are two of our biggest concerns in life. First of all, bread, sustenance. How many times have you been worried about being sustained, about being taken care of? There's probably not a lot of us in this room that don't know where our next meal is coming from today, but you may have been there before. But how many of us have been worried about having enough money for groceries at the end of the month? How many of us have been worried if we can afford our house payment after we lose our job? How many of us have worried that we have enough insurance to take care of that big hospital stay that we just went through? How many times have we been worried about being sustained? And sustenance must come first. We will not move on, as we said, to do anything greater as long as we're not sustained, as long as we're not fed. We'll never do great things in life as long as we remain in a survival mentality. And the thing that can sustain you is not some outward thing or some temporary thing. No, the one and only thing that can truly sustain you is the Spirit of the living God dwelling in you. And light. How many times have you worried about guidance, what you're going to do, where you're going? You've probably read books. You may have gone to seminars or conferences. Probably asked for advice from other people, and you probably Googled everything imaginable. Looking for guidance, looking for enlightenment. The truth is, enlightenment does not come from books. It doesn't come from self-help gurus. It doesn't come from YouTube. It comes from having your eyes opened to the light of the world, the light that has brought understanding into the chaos. The light that enters our dark world and the darkness will never overcome it. That's where guidance, that's where enlightenment comes from. So if those things are true, then I encourage you to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Don't try to find true sustenance. Don't try to find true enlightenment from the things of this world. Look to Jesus first and foremost, and all these things will be added unto you. And finally, as I alluded to earlier, bread is worthless if you don't eat it. And light is worthless if you don't walk in it. What would you think of someone who is dying, literally dying of hunger? And they are offered bread and their response is, "Oh, no, thank you, I'm doing just fine." What would you think of someone who's stumbling through the darkness, literally injuring and hurting themselves, and they are offered a light, and they say, "Oh, no, thank you, I'm doing just fine"? You'd say they were in denial, wouldn't you? Hear me carefully. Without Jesus, you are stumbling and starving through the darkness. You are injuring yourself. And there is no need to. There is the bread of life. There is the light of the world. And all you have to do is partake. All you have to do is walk in it. I beg you today, if you have been starving and stumbling through the darkness and denying the bread and the light, come out of denial. Come to Jesus. Be sustained and enlightened for all eternity. Amen. Today I want you to stand up with me, and before we pray, I want you to join me in just the first verse of a song. And I think you probably know it. It goes like this. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found.
was blind, but now I see.
Father, as we come to you today, we can never thank you enough that you have brought sustaining bread to our dying being. You have brought endless light into our darkness and chaos. You have brought Jesus to us. Heavenly Father, we were lost, stumbling and hurting ourselves without you. Heavenly Father, we were blind. And you have brought the light of Jesus into our lives. Father, I ask that each and every one of us would have the wisdom to turn first to Jesus for our sustenance, to turn first to Jesus for guidance and enlightenment, and that all the other things that we do in our lives would flow from that first and foremost. And then, Heavenly Father, I ask that you would give us the wisdom and the power to take the living bread and the light of the world into our dark world, that we would be the sent ones, that we would be the blind who have been healed, that declare to everyone around us, I am the one who was born blind and in darkness, and I have been healed. I have been given my sight by Jesus. Father, empower us to speak that message everywhere we go. And Father, finally, if there are any with us today who are still starving for real bread, something that will really sustain them and give them life. Father, if there's any here today who are still stumbling, trying to wade through the darkness, not knowing where they're going, Father, please draw them to you. Let them turn to the light. Let them come to Jesus and be saved. Father, be with us as we go. Fill us with your Spirit. Do your work in and through us. We love you. We praise you. We thank you for Jesus. Amen.